Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So I know this podcast is up around a day later than usual. I usually record this on a Sunday and then either I post it on the Sunday or I'll post it on the Monday, but I just took Sunday off this weekend. Sometimes I find it hard to switch off and I always feel like I should be doing something. It's like I nearly feel guilty if I'm not in work mode, even though it's a Sunday. So Sunday, I took the whole day to myself. And yeah, I just chilled and read a book, did my walk, caught up on some Netflix and just tried to switch off. Yeah, so I'm recording it today, the question and answer episode, because I know I have loads of episodes up on the podcast. I think we're up around the 50s or 60s marks now, 50 or 60 episodes around that. I don't have Spotify in front of me to know the exact number, but sometimes you can run out of things to talk about before you start feeling like you're repeating yourself, because you know, like, there is a certain amount of principles for fat loss and there's only so many times you can cover it. You can come at it from different angles, etc. But I just thought this week might be a good excuse to do a question and answer. So there might be something within those questions that you have been wanting to ask me or that you might be curious about, and you thought, why not? I'll just listen to the podcast. She might cover that as well. So just before I jump into the question and answers, how has my calorie deficit been going? So yeah, today is the start of week 9. And I was lingering around like the 64 kg bang on. And then I kind of went into the 63.8, like, for the last week or so. It was quite slow. So I think it was being masked by water retention. So I do a group call with my 8-week challenge clients. And we actually covered that in last night's group call on Zoom. I was talking about scale fluctuations. I knew something was lingering there. It wasn't that I was lacking efforts, that I wasn't sticking to the plan. I knew, like, there was just some water retention there. Whether I was just putting a lot of stress on myself through exercise, or, you know, my sleep pattern was all over the place because I was working Monday to Wednesday. I was getting up at 5 a.m. So I was weighing myself like 3 or 4 hours earlier than I usually would. So obviously food hadn't properly digested, etc. Again, sleep pattern, not the usual sleep pattern I would have. Like, I would usually, you know, be awake at around 8 or 9. And I'd have my food then. So that was a bit of a spanner in the works. So little things like that can play a toll on the scale with water retention. So I just trusted the process. And then lo and behold, Sunday, my scale dropped down to 63.1 when it was in the high 63s and then in the kind of like low 64s for the last 2 weeks. So there you go, 2 pounds dropped in the space of a week. But again, that could have been the last 2 weeks, but it was just lingering around that. So was delighted with that. And then, yeah, I'm still ticking along. I'm doing 3 runs a week. I think I mentioned last week that I had to pull back on training, and I have to say my legs just feel so much fresher, especially when it comes to running, because I did have to, like, kind of, you know, have that chat with myself to be like, okay, do you want, like, legs built like the Hulk, or do you want to get better at running for this marathon? And I had to accept, no, I want to get better at running. That's my goal, like, because I don't think you can, you know, have really, really muscular legs and, you know, run 3 times a week, because that requires a lot of training, a lot of, like, resistance sessions in the gym, a lot of leg press and a lot of squatting, a lot of hamstring work. And what I was finding was in my runs, I was doing 3 runs a week, I could feel it in my hamstrings, I could feel it in my quads and my recovery. I was getting, like, pains and, you know, a lot more and niggles here and there. And I was just like, right, I just need to save face here. So I'm doing 1 really good leg session a week, and that's on a Wednesday. And I'm putting my all into it. And I have to say, like, you know, a week and a half has gone by and my legs just feel so much fresher. My legs aren't tight now when I'm doing my training runs. And I'm not really feeling any pains anymore. So yeah, that's my body. And that's probably how the scale dropped as well. Maybe it was my body's way of saying, thanks for not stressing me out so much. So I did just have to swallow my pride. And now I'm doing 3 sessions in the gym rather than 5. So I cut out 2 leg days. I'm doing a push day, a leg day, and then a full upper day. And then I just threw 1 set of leg curls in on my upper day. I know it's a leg exercise, but just to cover more frequency on the hamstrings. They are important for running. And it's 8 weeks as well until the half marathon, the Dublin half marathon in the Phoenix Park. So I'm going to try really, really focus now on getting back into the running. Thankfully, the heat has subsided. So running has been a little bit easier now. And I'm starting to enjoy it a little bit. And then I do 3 runs a week. And then I do 3 cardio sessions a week in the gym. And sometimes if the weather's shit, I'll just do my runs on the treadmill. Yeah, but I do try to get outside for the most part. And yeah, so I think there's 5 weeks now left of my calorie deficit as well. So once that's over, you know, I will be eating back to normal again and I'll have more energy. And yeah, looking forward to that. But I'm in the low 63 now. Hopefully now by the time I record my next podcast, I will be in the maybe mid 62s, high 62s, who knows. I'll just stay consistent and I'll trust the process and I'll just keep ticking boxes. I was out this week as well for food. And usually when I go out for food, I will just have a lower carb breakfast and lower carb lunch. There's nothing wrong with carbs, but I'd rather just keep the protein high at meals and save some calories. So that could look like a chicken salad for lunch and then maybe like an egg omelette with maybe turkey sausages for breakfast rather than having my usual oats and then like, I don't know, like bagels or a wrap or rice for lunch. So yeah, I just saved a good bit of calories then and put that towards my put it towards the calories for my dinner. So yeah, I had about 900 calories then, about 600 calories, and I had 2 slices of pizza and a chicken taco. Probably went over a bit, but that's okay. And then I went to the cinema afterwards and I just had a bottle of water. But yeah, that's and the most important thing I always say is, you know, just bouncing back to your usual routine. Then the next day you're always 1 meal away from getting back on track. And then I came then to the end of my ADHD medication, so the month supply. I started off on 20 milligrams for 2 weeks and then 30 milligrams for the following 2 weeks. And then I had my updated meeting with my psychiatrist. So he is part of the ADHD now group that I went with. That's how I got assessed. I have a highlight on my page I didn't get any questions on that today now, but if you want to kind of understand how I went to get assessed and, you know, the steps and stuff like that, if you're interested, I do have a highlight on my Instagram, my Coach Enya page. But anyway, I had to have an updated, just like a catch-up call a month later after I tried the medication, and he's upped it now to 40 milligrams because I was saying to him that around 3 or 4, I do feel a wearing off. Now, in fairness, like, I don't really be walking around that time. That's when I usually go to the gym and stuff. Like, most of the time, if I'm going to be doing stuff on the laptop, it's going to be between like 9 and 1. And then, you know, I go out on my walk, I do my kind of like practical stuff like the gym, whatever else. And then maybe sometimes when I come home from the gym around 5 or 6, like, I'll go onto the laptop and see if there's any like emails or people I need to get back to. But you up the dose. And mainly as well because I wasn't having any negative side effects. Like, the first few days or the first week or so of going on it, like, I was a bit restless in bed at night, and I haven't had any appetite suppression. That was supposed to be one of the symptoms. He did say if you go up to 40 milligrams, there might be some of that, but no, didn't notice any appetite suppression. Have noticed, like, it does help massively with my focus when I'm working. If I'm working on something, like even today, I was doing my VAT returns. Oh my God, I was like doing honours maths. I just do not have the head for that shit. Like, if I wasn't on those ADHD meds, I would have had a nervous breakdown because my account was sending it back and being like, oh, can you fix this? And what does this mean? And what does that mean? And she's doing a hallway on the Excel spreadsheet. And like, it's just, you know, when you look at a ball of wool and it's like wrapped up and wrapped up and wrapped up. And I'm thinking, how am I going to untangle this? You're looking at someone else's work and you're like trying to wrap your head around it. It's like looking at a maths equation. But I felt because I was on the ADHD medication, I was able to just take a breath, take me time looking at it. And the minute I started working on it, I was able to get sucked in and I got a sort, you know, rather than me like procrastinating and thinking, oh no, I'll just leave this off. But yeah, that kind of voice in your head, like, just get it done now, is always there when you take the meds. I don't take it on the weekend because I do sometimes Saturday morning because I work Saturday morning. But I don't really take it on a Sunday because there's no really point. And like, a Saturday or a Sunday is probably when I actually have caffeine. I don't like taking caffeine when I have the ADHD meds in my system because they are a stimulant. And I actually noticed as well that when I take ADHD meds and I go onto a cardio machine in the gym, my heart rate increases very easily. And that's because there's a stimulant in my system. It's like having a can of Monster or a coffee, you know, like I don't have to try very hard to make my heart rate increase, as opposed to if I wasn't taking the meds, I would probably have to work a bit harder. But I don't like kind of using that as an excuse not to push hard anyway, you know, but I wouldn't be going for like a full on sprint or like doing a spin class with a stimulant in my system, especially early in the morning, you know. I don't know, I wouldn't like my heart rate maxing out if I can help it. But yeah, so I'm going to try, I have to first get my heart rate and my blood pressure done again and my weight done again. So I think you can go to Boots and get that done rather than like going to, you know, your GP and having to like spend a fortune for him to tell you something you can get done in Boots for half the price. I'm pretty sure like you can just walk in and like get it done. So he just wants to know that I'm all okay, my blood pressure's good, heart rate's good, etc. And obviously I'm in the process of losing weight, so my weight hasn't increased. And I think they obviously want to see like your weight just to make sure that like, you know, you're not under eating or it's not having a side effect on you. Like again, appetite suppressant, like that's the last thing they want, is that you aren't eating enough food, you know. Sorry, there's a dog barking outside, I don't know whether you can hear it. But anyway, on to the Q&A. How do you maintain your weight after a calorie deficit? So do you just keep all exercise the same and just more calories? So your maintenance calories are, it's basically the amount of calories you need for your height, weight, age, and for how active you are. So you as an individual, to maintain your current weight. So let's say I finish this calorie deficit, I'm obviously going to be a new weight compared to when I started. So I have a different calorie requirement now because I weigh less. And that is the number to maintain your weight. And yes, the scale will fluctuate on a day-to-day, even if you are maintaining your weight, because you know you're going to be eating more carbs now, you're going to be retaining more water. Yeah, so don't freak out if the scale goes up or down on a daily basis. You want to be looking at your average over the cross of a week, over across a week, okay? So if you're looking at your weekly average over the course of like say 4 or 5 weeks and it's going up, then you're probably not at maintenance calories and you're probably overeating a lot of the days. So just keep track of that. Like it shouldn't get to a stage where you are constantly tracking calories. Like it should get to a stage where, you know, you're eating the same foods all the time. Like you should know, okay, well, I'm always having this breakfast. I know how much protein is in this. I know how many calories is in this because, you know, you're weighing your food. And then same with lunch and dinner. You know, every few days you might change it around. Like I'm the same. Like I will rotate the same breakfast. I always have protein oats, always, like rarely ever change it unless like I have something on that day where I want like kind of a lower carb breakfast. And then my lunch is always the same. Like I'll have like egg whites, a bagel, turkey sausages, or else turkey rashers with that. And then for dinner I'll have like maybe a baked potato with low fat mince, dalmio sauce, or else I'll have like pasta bolognese. And then my snacks are always either a protein bar, decaf cappuccino, and then maybe a biscuit or two. So like when I go back up to maintenance, I just increase the portions at dinner and at lunch and at breakfast. So I'll probably have an extra 20 grams of oats. I'll probably have maybe more mince with my dinner. I'll probably have more pasta with my lunch, etc. Little things like that. Like the foods I eat don't change, the portions just change. And then you know, it's easy. I always say to people, it's easy dropping the weight. So these people who do these like juice cleanses or take these like magic pills and stuff, yeah, the weight's going to fall off. You're probably going to lose like 2 to 3 pounds a week, you know, maybe even 6 to 7 pounds over the course of a month. But, you know, that's the easy part. But how are you going to maintain this new physique when you've used an unsustainable approach to get there? You probably haven't even learned about maintenance calories. You just think, oh, I've dropped all this weight, happy days. And then what happens when you go back to eating like a human being? When you bring back bread into the equation, when you bring back chocolate, you haven't learned how to moderate that. You haven't learned how to control like impulses. You haven't learned about self-control. You're basically just starving yourself for the last month. And now you go back to eating like a human being and, you know, you eat that shit tenfold and you just end up whacking on the way. So doing a calorie deficit, doing it the sustainable way, you know, trying to opt for 1 pound a week, not using unsustainable approaches. And then eventually when you do go back up to maintenance, You're still using the same approach, except your portions just increase a little bit now at mealtime. So you're not going from one extreme to the next. So yeah, maintenance is how you maintain your weight after you lose the body fat. And that's the hard part. And sometimes people can get carried away and they think, oh, well, you know, I'm just maintaining my weight now. Like, even if you are doing it the right way and you are like just got, even if you are out of a calorie deficit and you just go up by 500 calories now, because remember, 500 calories by 7 is 3,500 calories. So if you're eating 500 calories less a day over 7 days, that's 3,500 calories. And that's how many calories is in a pound of body fat. So when you want to maintain your weight, you just increase it by 500 calories. You're not in a deficit anymore. Now you're back at maintenance. But sometimes people can get carried away, because remember, when you use a TDE calculator, total daily energy expenditure, it's going to ask you how active you are, okay? And you're probably still going to be as active as you were in a calorie deficit. You're probably still going to be going to the gym 3 to 5 days a week. You're probably going to be still doing cardio 3 to 5 days a week, just not as much as you were in a calorie deficit, because you're not chasing fat loss anymore. So instead of like 30 to 40 minutes, you're probably only doing 15 to 20 minutes just to keep you fit and to keep body composition in a good place. But what starts to happen is people start to slip back into old habits. So they're like, well, I'm not losing body fat anymore. I can skip cardio today. And oh, I don't really need to hit 10,000 steps today because I'm not chasing fat loss. Like, no, like the amount of food you're eating correlates with how active you are, how many days you are active per week. Okay, so you've told that calculator you're active 3 to 5 days. So you're eating the amount of food that equates to that for your body. Okay, so for example, you know, Mary's 155 centimeters, she's 35, she weighs 65 kg now, and you know, she's active 3 to 5 days. And she starts slipping and she's only active 1 to 2 days now because she's like, oh, well, you know, I've got the body I wanted, and habits start slipping. And, you know, she's actually eating too much food now for how active she is, because that calculator thinks she's active 3 to 5 days, but she's actually slipping now back into 1 to 2 days of activity. And then that's how the scale can start to creep up. So it's important to just keep moving. Obviously, don't be burning yourself out and breaking yourself up in the gym, but, you know, keeping the step count nice and high, not doing as much cardio. But, you know, still going to the gym. And then you were saying, like, do you do the same exercises? Like, yeah, like if it's not broken, don't fix it. Like a lot of people want, you know, different programs to they want their program to change every week. But that's not the case, because you need to let your body become acquainted with the program. So like I would say minimum 4 weeks before you change anything. And then anything below that, it's like you're not even giving your body a chance to adapt to these exercises. Like if it's not broken, don't fix it. Yes, it's boring, it's mundane, but there's only so many moves out there that you can do that will target each muscle group. So like a squat pattern, so like a barbell squat, you know, a front squat, like that's going to work your quads, hack squat, things like that. You don't need to be doing like these fancy movements all the time, like hopping on one leg and trying to rub your stomach at the same time. Like you just need to do a move like that targets that specific muscle group. So like an RDL, Romanian deadlift, that's always going to target the hamstrings. And I think that's something that should be in all workout programs, or a leg curl. There's only so many exercises you can do that can target the hamstrings. You know, bicep curls, there's only so many exercises you can do that will target the biceps. So although your program might be changing every 4 to 8 weeks, it's still going to be targeting the same muscle group. Sometimes people just want to change it just, you know, out of boredom, and I completely get that. But I'm just a big believer in if it's not broken, don't fix it. Like I would definitely have the same staple movements in my program the last 2 years, like a squat, an RDL, a bent over row for the back, bicep curls, lateral raises, shoulder press, chest press. That's been in my program every week since the dawn of time. Like I don't change that. So yeah, exercises would stay the same. Maybe how many reps you do might change, because now you're in maintenance, you are going to have more energy. So you might do heavier rounds now rather than lighter ones. Because, and what's a heavier round? Like say 6 to 8 reps or 8 to 10 reps. When you're in a calorie deficit, you're not going to have as much energy. So you kind of focus on maybe 12 to 15 reps and maybe one heavy round. So like, let's say you're doing a squat, you might do 8 to 10 reps for round one, and then you do a drop set for the last 2 rounds, and that would be 12 to 15 reps because you don't have as much energy. But when you're in a maintenance phase, you might do 2 heavy rounds now and then 1 drop set on the last round. because your body isn't pulling from an empty well anymore when you're in a calorie deficit. It actually has food to pull from now, to, you know, to put towards growing muscle tissue. And another question, how long do you recommend staying in a calorie deficit? Well, when I was doing my fitness photo shoot, I had a long road ahead of me. So I was in one for like 19 weeks. I wouldn't recommend being in a calorie deficit for 19 weeks, but we had a long road to get rid of a lot of body fat. So that was the commitment I had to make. But I think for a normal person, anything, it does depend on how much body fat you have to lose. Let's not forget that. Like if you have a big mountain to climb, are you going to be able to lose all of it in 8 weeks? No. Like, are you going to be able to lose 4 to 5 kg in 8 weeks? Probably. If you're looking to lose 10 kg in 8 weeks, you're going to need a longer time period. You're going to need at least 12 to 16 weeks. Okay. But I think 12 weeks would be the thresholds. I'm in a 14 week deficit, but don't forget the first 2 weeks were at maintenance. Okay. I think anything over 12 weeks, you can start to get diet fatigue. Cravings can get a lot louder. Food noise can get a lot louder. You just kind of get fed up of counting calories and, you know, doing so much cardio, etc. Sometimes you take a diet break maybe for 3 to 4 weeks and then go back into another deficit. I would recommend that as well. It's just like resetting yourself, especially mentally. But anything between like 12 to 14 weeks, again, depends how much you need to lose. If you're only looking to lose 4 to 5 kg, like 8 to 10 weeks is probably plenty. But if you have more to lose, like, you know, maybe a diet break in between somewhere is recommended, breaking your year up, etc. And then another question was, when training to failure, do you train to failure on all sets or just the last one? So if you're training to failure, so let's just imagine you're doing a bicep curl, okay? So you have a dumbbell in your hand and you're bringing it up towards your shoulder. That's going to work your bicep. If you are training to failure every round, on the second round, you're going to have less energy now because you're literally after fatiguing the muscles. So you're probably not going to be able to get as many reps. What I would do is I would wait till the third round to train to failure because you know you're done the exercise then. So you're like, right, I'm burn out on this last round here because I know I'm not going to be doing bicep curls now for the rest of the session. So yeah, if you do it on every round, you'll just fatigue so much quicker and you're not going to be able to get your full potential. You're not going to be able to reach your full potential on that exercise because you're just going to keep burning out each round. Wait until the third round. Does maintenance exist? I don't know what that means, but I just discuss what maintenance is anyway. Do you weigh and track your veg, e.g. onion, garlic, peppers, or just leave surplus calories to cover? So when it comes to like starchy veg, so like turnips, carrots, potatoes, I would weigh all them. Like my leafy greens or my water-based veg, like cucumbers, tomatoes, I don't track them, or like peppers or anything, I don't. Unless I was having copious amounts of them, like, you know, bowls of them for lunch and dinner, I don't track them. I don't have a lot of them on a daily basis. So, you know, sometimes if I have 50 calories left over, I'll be like, oh, well, that's like my veg probably, you know, and that's if I was having a lot of it. But yeah, if you want to leave maybe 50 to 100 calories over at the end of the day and you didn't track your veg, you could say, okay, well, a lot of that probably went towards my veg anyway. So there's no point having a chocolate bar or whatever. But I usually don't track it. And when it comes to fruit, I would only track bananas. I would track an apple as well. I don't really track berries because I would only have like maybe a handful with porridge in the mornings with my protein oats. That would be it. So I don't really track them. But if you're having copious amounts of them every day, like I'm talking, you know, bowls full of berries or bowls full of veg like 3 times a day, like, yeah, I'd probably start tracking because it would start adding up. Any tips for the Clontarf half marathon in November? I did the 8K last month and signed up for the half in November. Yeah, so they do a summer one and then they do a winter one as well. Well, first of all, you're definitely not going to be battling with the heat in November, so that's a plus. The wind might be a whole lot worse in November, I'm not too sure. Going up, it's going to be easy enough. I found there was loads of space to run as opposed to the Dublin City half marathon. Everyone was on top of each other. It's actually a grand route. It is a grand route, but the heat just held me back on that particular day. I wasn't prepared for it. So I think it should be okay. It's a flat route. So I wouldn't be worried about like any kind of inclines or anything like that. But the wind might be a factor on that day. Like, it is a lot. I found that when I was out doing my training runs by myself, the wind was a lot stronger when you're running back. Again, it could change direction on the day when you're doing it. It could be when you're running out, but when I was running back, on my training runs, it was very, very strong and it slowed me down big time. Like my pace went from 5:40 up to like 6:10. You feel like you're running uphill. That's what I can only compare it to. But because when I was doing the half marathon, there was loads of people in front of me, the wind didn't seem as strong. And that's because I think a lot, obviously, with the wall of people in front of me, it was breaking it up. But yeah, no, it was a lovely atmosphere. And I liked the route, but I just thought it was so much harder in the heat. I would recommend go out in the build up to it. Run, do your long runs along the Clontarf seafront, get used to it. Do the run out to Bull Island as well, with the little roundabout. Like I did my 15km run and my 18km run out there, and still it didn't prepare me for the heat on the day, because the heat just came out of nowhere. And obviously take your electrolytes that morning, don't change anything about the food that you eat, compared to, you know, when you're doing your long runs, like what do you usually eat. Well, stick to that on the day of the half marathon as well. One of the mistakes I did make is I wore a running vest and I was carrying a lot in it. So I was carrying my kids, I was carrying my phone, I was carrying my gels, I was carrying a little flask of water. Like all that adds up into weight, okay? So I felt like I was running with an extra 2 kg on my back. If I was to do it again, I would just wear a strap around my arm for my phone, and I'd wear like a little belt with my gels in it, and I'd just drink the water along the way. Like I do think that definitely probably did slow me down a little bit, because I didn't train like that. I didn't train with all that stuff on me, you know. So yeah, just make sure when you're training, it's how you're going to be running on the day. So to carry the stuff with you that you're only going to carry with you on the day, so there's no surprises. How is the scale dropping so much for you when it had been stalling? Are you doing anything different? No, like it's just water retention. Sometimes it's just stubborn. It is. And you think that you're not losing fat, but I knew I was losing fat. I knew I was. I trusted the process, and I knew that all my the effort that I was putting into this calorie deficit with the cardio, sticking to the plan, doing my steps, you know, I was leaving no stone left unturned. I knew it was dropping in the background, but the water retention was masking it. I didn't change anything. Yeah, I'm probably working harder than the average person. I'm probably doing more cardio than the average person, but that's what happens sometimes. It can just stall. That's the way it goes. It's not going to drop every single day consistently. Is it better to do the same exercises weekly and just progressively overload? So that's very similar to exercises about trying to failure. Like, yeah, stick to the staple exercises, okay? Like your squat pattern, like your compound movements, like your chest press, your shoulder press, your deadlift, your RDL, and work on them, okay? If it's not broke, don't fix it. Work on getting stronger with those exercises. And then maybe, you know, every 4 to 8 weeks, change the pattern. So instead of an RDL for your hamstrings, you're doing a leg curl for the hamstrings instead, or you're changing it from a barbell RDL to a dumbbell RDL, but you're still targeting the same muscle group, you know. But don't be changing. Stick to a program that's going to suit you. So if you can only train 3 days a week, maybe do upper, lower, full, or upper, lower, lower, okay? And then work on, you know, building the reps each week or going up weight each week on those movements. Because if you're sticking to the same weight and the same reps every week for 8 weeks straight, how are you going to get stronger? Your muscles are eventually going to adapt to that and going to be like, here, like this stimulus hasn't changed in weeks. Like I'm not tearing and repairing here. Like what's going on? You're going to end up finding it very, very easy. So that's why you should go up maybe in 1.25 increments or 2.5 kg increments, depending on the exercise. Like the likes of a squat, like you could probably go up in 5 kgs because your legs are obviously a lot stronger. When it comes to upper body, you know, like lateral raises, like I don't think many people could do past 10 kg because that's such a small muscle. It's in your shoulder. You know, you might just try increase the reps more each week with that exercise. But yeah, you'll know yourself. Some gyms don't have 1.25 kg plates, so you have to use 2.5 kg plates. But I would definitely be trying to either up the weight each week or beat last week's reps, okay? And let's say you're doing, I'm just using this exercise as an example. If you are doing a squat and your first round you have to do 8 to 10 reps, and the other 2 rounds, if you're doing 3 rounds, you have to do 12 to 15 reps. If you're getting 10 reps on the first one and then 15 reps on the other two, like you need to go up in weight. Like you're hitting the top of the rep range now, like you're getting stronger. That's a good sign, but it's also a sign to up the weight until then you find a challenge to do maybe 12 reps on the weight that you've upped it to. So you could be doing 60 kg and you've hit the top of the rep range now 1 week and you're like, right, I'm going to up it to 62.5 or up to 65. And then all of a sudden you can't do 15 reps anymore because this is a challenge now. You might only be able to get 10 to 12 reps, you know, so you have to stick with that weight now until you can get 15. That might take a couple of weeks. And then we have another one. What software mic do you use to record the podcast? It's a Rode mic. Let me just see what the model name of it is. Rode NT USB Plus. Yeah, I've had it ages. It's handy. I can just do it at home. I don't have to pay for a studio. Best runners for trainers. Best runners slash trainers for walking, running. I love New Balance. I bought a pair of New Balance for running there. Fresh foams, they're called. They're really nice for like easy runs. So like you're not like looking for speed. You're not doing intervals. The Asics Nova Blasts are really good for easy runs. I actually wore them in my last half marathon. They were comfortable as well. And then the Nike Alpha Flies. They're expensive now. They're about like nearly €300. They're so noisy though. They're actually so noisy. But you feel like you're running on air. Like they do make it about 10 seconds quicker each kilometre, I have to say. But I wouldn't be wearing them for like normal runs. I'd just save them for race days or if I was doing like maybe a fast 5K or like my intervals. In terms of just walking shoes, again, New Balance, do like a walking shoe. Oh my God, what's the name of it? Because I literally go through about 3 pairs of them a year. Hold on, and I get the name. I have Google open. They're expensive. They're about £120. New Balance. I think they're New Balance 550s. Are they? New Balance 540s. So they're about €120. I think they're ideal for walking. And they're also like really nice lifestyle runners that you can just wear with outfits and stuff. They look kind of like retro, but they're really comfortable. You probably know them when you Google them, but they're actually really, really comfortable. I go through about 3 pairs of them a year and they go with everything. Especially gym wear, and then like just to wear in the gym on like if you're doing a push day or yeah, if you're just going out to get your 10k steps, because they go lovely with gym gear. What is the next question? So how's the new running shoes going? Yeah, just discussed them there. I treated myself to a pair of New Balance Fresh Foams. They're really comfortable to run in, but just for easy running. And then patience in a weight loss phase. So yeah, I've had to have a lot of patience over the last couple of weeks because the scale's been lingering, then it's been dropping, then it's been lingering. And it's very easy not to follow the plan when things aren't going your way. It's very easy to slip back into old habits when the scale's not moving, when you think you're not changing the mirror. It's very easy to go back to bad habits. And that's where you have to persevere, because that's what separates you from the rest of the pack, okay? I remember I used to stand on the scale, and sometimes it does take a lot of trial and error. Like, you've been listening to my podcast since I started this deficit. Back at the end of May, and you know, I was in maintenance for the first 2 weeks, then my calories weren't really helping me budge for the, you know, the 2 weeks following that, and I had to change my calories, I had to up my cardio. Like, it's going to take a lot of trial and error sometimes, and then sometimes it is very straightforward and the scale will drop, but it can be a very testing process. But the way I say to myself, what I used to say to myself in the early days when I, you know, I used to pull myself up my own bullshit. When I stood on the scale and I'm like, it's been 3 weeks and nothing has budged here. Like, I've been by the book, but I have to tell myself it's going to drop. I know it is. Okay, if it doesn't next week, maybe I'll make some adjustments, but it will drop. There's no way you're putting all of this hard effort in, okay, this hard work in, and it's not being returned. Okay, it will drop. You have to trust the process. But again, slow to me could probably be completely different to you. Like, slow to me would probably be half a pound a week. And you might think a pound a week is slow, but, you know, a pound a week is perfectly on par with what I want. I think a lot of people get caught up as well thinking you need to be dropping like 2 to 3 pounds a week. Like, if you knew the amount of effort you had to put in to lose 2 to 3 pounds, like when I was doing my fitness photo shoot, I was losing 3 kg a month, which was like 6.6 pounds. I was spending 90 minutes on a Stairmaster a day. There was no room for alcohol. There was no room for fast food. I had to be so anal with my calories. I was on 1,360 calories a day. I had no life. I was running on petrol fumes on a daily basis. So if you want to lose 2 to 3 pounds, be my guest, but you will not have a life. Whereas now I have room to go out for pizza. I have room to go to the cinema. I have room to have a drink if I want to. And I have room that if I'm not feeling too good one day, oh, I can afford to skip cardio today. Okay. So yeah, I just want to it's just people's expectations there. Because someone actually texted in as well and said, are you pissed off that your fat loss phase is going a lot slower this time? And I'm like, no, because I actually get to have a life. And again, slow to you is not slow to me. Like, I think a pound a week is perfectly fine. And once we adjusted my calories and the scale actually started moving, you know, we found the magic number, and I've been losing a pound a week since. So I'm quite happy with that. So the first 4 weeks, yeah, it kind of stalled. But the first 2 weeks, I was at maintenance. So it was only kind of like 2 weeks where we were like, oh, here, what's going on? Things aren't moving. So I'm in week 9 now. So that's 5-6 weeks. And, you know, I started at like 65.8. I'm down to 63.1. So what, I'm about 6 pounds, 6.5 pounds down. So yeah, I'm right on par. Like, I'm not fussed at all. Like, and to be honest, I definitely wouldn't swap places with the Enya last year that was on the Stairmaster for 90 minutes a day and had no life. Like, I'm perfectly fine with this because I'm not trying to fit into a wedding dress. I'm not trying to lean down for a boxing match. I'm literally just trying to drop a few kilo, which I gained over the course of 5 months from going away so much, you know. And then I have a marathon around the corner. I can't afford to be in a calorie deficit any longer. So I'm quite happy that within the next 5 weeks, I'm going to finish this. And, you know, hopefully I'll be down into the 60s to 61s, and that will suit me fine. And then after Christmas, you know, maybe I'll shed another few kilo. But I've been looking at pictures of myself back when I was doing a fitness photo shoot, and I have to say, like, I didn't like how skinny I was. Like, I thought I was too lean. Obviously, I had to get that lean for a particular look for the fitness photo shoot, if I wanted my muscles to pop, my abs to pop, etc. But you couldn't pay me now to go back to that, because I had no arse, I had no chest, I had no curves. Whereas the sweet spot for me is between like 57 to 61 kg. That's a nice sweet spot for me because I still have an arse. I still have a chest. I feel like a woman. And, you know, I look nice and toned in my clothes. Whereas, you know, this time last year, I didn't have an arse when I wore leggings. I was quite self-conscious when I was on holiday wearing a bikini because I had no chest. So it has its pros and its cons. So I'm quite happy where I am now. Obviously, I'd say there's about another 2 kilo to go. And, you know, if I'm really consistent over these next 5 weeks, I'll lose that 2 kilo and I'll get into the 60, 61 kg range. But no, I'm not pissed off at all. Again, I think some people have different expectations when it comes to fat loss, but I've been there, done that, multiple calorie deficits. Like, I know what's doable and what's not worth it. So I wouldn't do another fitness photo shoot again just because of how anal you have to be with calories, how disciplined you have to be. Like, just give me a regular calorie deficit all day long. And then, how do you know your actual weight in the week? I get spikes, but is the real amount the average? So I was actually talking about this on a group call with my 8-week challenge clients last night. And I said to them that if you weigh daily, okay, let's just say you've been doing that over the course of 4 weeks, compare the lowest weigh in each week. Okay, so let's say last week my lowest weigh in was 63.8. This week it was 63.1. Okay, so usually our lowest weigh in of the week, you're just going to assume that is your lowest weigh in. Or you can go by the average as well. Okay, if you do 7 weigh ins, what's your average? That's your actual weight. Okay, now don't forget, like, if you suddenly got a vomiting bug and you weren't eating for a day or two and you were severely dehydrated, like, you're going to lose about a kilo of water weight overnight, but you're going to gain that back down when you start eating like a human being again and you get back to full health. So we are carrying around on average about a kilo of water weight, and there's nothing that we can do about that unless we are severely dehydrated due to illness, or if you're like severely hungover. Wine is actually a really, really bad diuretic. Like, it's caffeine can be as well. Like, you know, if you're not eating and you're just living on caffeine and stuff. But on average, we carry around a kilo of water weight on a daily basis. But don't be thinking about that now when you're weighing yourself, okay? Just what's your lowest weigh in this week, lowest weigh in the following week. And, you know, over the course of 4 weeks, you'll be able to see like that number dropping if you are consistent. That's what I do. I compare my lowest weigh in this week to last week's lowest weigh in, and that's how I know if I've lost anything. But when you're only weighing once a week, it can get very hard to see the bigger picture, and it can, you can't really spot trends when you're only doing it once a week, which is why I don't like weighing in once a week, because it's not giving you the full picture. I discussed this last night as well on the call with my 8-week challenge clients, that if you weigh in every Wednesday, like for 4 weeks in a row, your scale number might not change over those 4 weeks on Wednesday. Okay, so your weighing day is a Wednesday, but you're not weighing in on a Tuesday, you're not weighing in on a Thursday, you're not weighing in on a Friday. On those days, you could be missing low weigh-ins, but you're missing them because you're only weighing in on Wednesdays. And it just happened to be days where you could have had your period, you could have had a big meal the night before, you could have had more carbs than usual the day before. And all of a sudden it gets to the end of 4 weeks and you think, this isn't working, what's going on here? And it is working. You're just not seeing the other low weigh-ins because you're only weighing in once a week. So that's why I like weighing daily, because you do get to see the bigger picture and you get to see trends. But yeah, that's something I learned from my own coach when I started work with him. Compare last week's lowest weigh-in to this week's lowest weigh-in. And did you beat last week's weigh-in? Then the scale is moving down, obviously. Because I used to, sometimes when you're weighing in kilos, you can think, oh, it's barely moved this week. But there's 2.2 pounds in a kilo. So if you lose half a kilo, you've lost 1.1 pounds. Okay, so if the kilo range is lingering over the course of 2 weeks, like, it's going to take 2 weeks to lose about 2 pounds. So that's quite normal. If you're 65.9 this week and in 2 weeks time you're 65.1, oh, this isn't working, the scale's barely moved. Well, you've almost lost 2 pounds, so it is working. So that's just something to remember when you're looking at kilos. But that kind of sums it up. That's most of the questions. A lot of the other ones were kind of like repeats and stuff, so I don't want to go into them again. But yeah, that sums it up. I hope I've covered any questions that you might have yourself, and I will do another Q&A down the line, but this week I just wanted to focus on questions and answers. And I hope I've given people, like, I've adjusted their expectations when it comes to a calorie deficit, that a pound a week is absolutely fine. If it's not broken, don't try fix it. Stick to the stable exercises, your compound movements. There's no point changing it up every week. There's no point. It's not going to benefit you. Stick to the stable ones. A minimum, change it every 4 weeks. Try stick to it to at least 8 if you can. But yeah, 4 weeks. I know on my 8-week challenge and then on my app, I change it every 4 weeks. But the stable movements are still going to be in there. Like, you're still going to be training your hamstrings no matter what. You're still going to be training your quads, you're still going to be training your abs, you're still going to be training your biceps, you're still going to be training your shoulders, because there is only so many muscle groups in the human body, and there's only a number of exercises to target each one. So yeah, minimum 4 weeks, and I'd say maximum maybe 16 weeks. But again, everyone is different. You might want to change it sooner, you might stick to it. But yeah, calorie deficit, gym program, patience when it comes to fat loss, and a few tips for the running there. So hope I've covered everything, and yeah, tune in next week. Thanks for listening. As always, I do appreciate the support.